everyone. Welcome back to Get to Know Greece. It is so good to be back together in this way, getting to know one another again, getting to hear stories of grace in action and grace alive and well in our midst. God's grace as it feeds us and fills us and sends us out to our neighbors. I am so excited after this long hiatus to be joined by Stephanie Nichols. We are here talking about Stephanie's life and God's presence in it, and just so excited to share more stories and share more time with you all. So let's, without further ado, let's open with a word of prayer. Holy One, we give you thanks for the gift of story, for the gift of remembering, recreating, reminding those in our lives about your presence in our lives. As we gather to hear Stephanie's story, be with us. Open our hearts and minds so that we might receive the messages you have sent her throughout her life and the messages you are sending us through her witness. Bless this time. Bless all who receive it. Bless us in all that we do, in all that we pray, and in all that we play. May our lives be a reflection of your grace. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, welcome, Stephanie. It's so good to be together.
Yes.
Exciting to get to know you in this way, to have some quality time together. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. What would you like the people of grace to know about who Stephanie is?
Okay, well, first of all, of course, I'm a lifelong Lutheran. Mm-hmm. I was baptized as a baby in the Dalles, Oregon. The Dalles, you may not know, is the end of the Oregon Trail.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, and then in my professional life, I was a speech-language pathologist, which was a great blessing to me, a career I absolutely loved. I used to say, I'd do it for free if I could afford it.
Yes.
And at this point in my life, I have two ministries, which I love talking about. One of them, of course, is as a youth advisor here at Grace.
Yeah.
And so I go on retreats, I go to camp, I consult with the pastors, particularly Salvador. I try to support him in any way I can because I just love the youth program. And also teach middle school Sunday school,
yes,
which I discovered is another great blessing because in that capacity, I get to see kids when their true talents and gifts and leadership qualities mm-hmm. start to come out. And sometimes, and often, I see those things before the kids are even aware of it, sometimes even before their parents.
Yeah.
And so it's really fun. And then to watch as they mature into full leaders in the youth program. And then my second ministry is with Tyee High School. And that, I graduated from that school, and when my class had our 50th reunion, we discovered that the school had an 85% poverty rate mm-hmm. and a 10% homeless rate.
Mm-hmm.
And so my class raised a large amount of money for the social worker to buy snacks for the kids, open lunch accounts, food for families, that sort of thing. And when it was all over with, I said to a classmate, you know, this is my community school.
Yeah.
I can't just let this go. What about next year, you know? So if things worked out, I am now co-coordinator of a group called Friends of Tyee.
Yeah.
And we're mostly alums, but we're reaching out to other community groups like the Angle Lake Shore Club and the Tukwila Food Pantry and other groups to you know, enlarge our focus. So we do mostly food drives. We have a special fund. We spend, like Nick is on the way to the Costco right now to buy bottled water and energy bars for the kids.
Sure.
We give grocery store gift cards to the social worker, especially around the holidays. We participate in some of their school events to kind of help with the school spirit and that sort of thing. And this is particularly during COVID, this was a big issue because with food supply issues, the chain of food chain supply issues, the school lunches got pretty skimpy. And if you've been around teenagers, you know, they burn off calories like crazy. So when school reopened after COVID, we really focused heavily on providing healthy snacks for the kids and the athletes coming, you know, as those kids have been in school all day and then they're working hard.
Yeah,
so the staff and administration at the school are very grateful for what we do. And it makes me feel good to be helping my community school and these kids and families that are so much in need.
So
those are the, that's where, besides family, that's where the focus of my energies go.
Tell us a little bit about your family. Tell us about
the
people in your life.
Well, I have my father, I am blessed to say, is still alive. He is 98 years old.
Incredible.
He is still lives in his own home. The downside of that is it's out of Shelton, Washington, so it's not a close, it's not close by, but you know, he's doing all right. He still drives.
Yeah.
I don't ride with him, but and he is taking care of my 93-year-old stepmom who has Alzheimer's.
Okay.
So he does get support. She has home health care 4 days a week. So
good.
And then I am blessed with 7 sisters.
Mm-hmm.
2 of them are biological. 1 is adopted, and 3 are stepsisters. And even though we sometimes butt heads, I do appreciate having all of them because dealing with my parents and keeping them in their own home, I could never do by myself.
Yeah.
So I have a huge amount of, the ones that live far away will send food baskets and and do phone calls, and the ones that live close by do the regular visits. And so we all just kind of have this little team work together. I had a daughter from my first marriage that I adopted, and she was a wonderful blessing. I lost her in 2013 to diabetes, but she left me a wonderful grandson, Finnegan. A lot of the kids know him here from camp and things. And and then I have Danielle, my midlife miracle baby, who lives nearby.
Good. Beautiful.
So,
whole beautiful family. Oh, I love it. Well, tell us a little bit about how you found Grace Lutheran, how you come to this family.
This is a good story.
Yeah.
So, in my, when I was a young adult, I was living in Portland, Oregon, and I would come up to visit my mom from time to time, and she was a member of this church.
Okay.
And so I'd come here with her. It was like a nice church, but it was very different than the church I was going to in Portland. The church I was going into Portland was very small. It was in a the heart of gang territory, very diverse, and just very different in many ways. So anyway, Mom was killed in a car accident in 1983. And Pastor Marquardt was the pastor here then, and Pastor Marquardt was just a great gift to the family. He came over to the house, he ministered to us, he was just so wonderful, got us through this, and did the most wonderful memorial service for him, for her. So, fast forward 10 years, I moved up here to help my sister take care of our grandmother. And I thought, I gotta find a new church. And it's like, no way am I going to Grace Lutheran. That's my mom's church. It's too big, it's too white, it's too But God had a different idea.
Yes.
So I tried several other churches and just things just didn't work out. And then I met Nick and we got married and we had Danielle, and one Easter he said, you know, it's Easter Sunday coming up, we gotta go to church as a family. He was working Sundays those days.
Okay.
So he said, can you find a church where that has a service that we can go to and then I can still get to work? It's like, well, Grace, they got all those new services. So we went to Grace, Nick and Danielle and I, this Easter, infamous Easter Sunday. And that was the Easter Sunday where Pastor Marquardt did a one-man play and he portrayed the gardener in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Oh.
And Nick was hooked. We got in the car. He couldn't quit talking about it. He was like, I could go to church here every Sunday and still get to work on time.
Oh,
and I thought, okay, God, I get the message.
I hear you loud and clear.
But it turned out, of course, to be a great blessing because the VBS and Sunday School and Youth program for Danielle was a life changer. I always tell this story about when I used to have to drag her out of bed on Sunday mornings, and then, you know, it's like, in our family, there's no option, and besides one day, you're gonna grow up and go to camp with these kids, and the better you know them now, the more you'll enjoy camp.
Yeah.
Well, the day came, she went to camp, and came home, and that Sunday, there was gonna be a potluck or something. And Nick and I, well, we're tired, we're not gonna go. And she comes storming out to the living room. Get your coats. What do you mean? Cindy and Shania are waiting for me. Nick and I are like sitting here going, who is this child?
Who are these people she's met? What is going on?
And that was the way it was from then on, her leading us.
Yeah.
And I laughingly say, you know, when she got to be a teenager and older, the only thing she ever admitted that I was right about was that message about you need to get the kid, know the kids now, so
yes.
When you go to camp. And we still laugh about that. So that's how I ended up at Grace.
Oh,
and
good.
Of course getting involved in Sunday school and all was because of her.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But she didn't want me as a youth advisor when she was in the youth program. She was
fair
very
enough.
Independent.
Yes.
But as soon as she graduated, then I signed up to be a youth advisor, and now she thinks it's cool, as long as I didn't do it when she was in her business.
Do whatever you want, Mom. You're just going to be my youth
advisor. Yeah.
Totally. Been
so,
there.
So
oh,
anyway,
good.
So there's all my Grace stories.
I love that also answers the question of what keeps you coming back.
Yeah.
That even though Danielle has grown all the way through the program, you're not here as parent in the same way, but you're here as parent to all of our kids.
Well, what I realized, and now I say this, when you're looking for a church, what's important is, besides some of those things like the size and diversity and all that, but first of all, being close by so you can, like it was so easy, we only live 7 minutes away, so Danielle could participate in all the events, it was easy, and then having a big youth program or a vital youth program, it was so important for her growing up. I remember one spring, I was taking her to school, and it was right before break, and I said something about, oh, it'd be nice to have a break from confirmation, and she's like, Mom, why would I want a break from the thing I love the most?
Yes.
So I shut up. But it's kind of like, you know, you weigh the different things, and all those things I thought were negatives about Grace, it turned out there was a whole slew more of positive things that I hadn't been thinking about.
Yeah.
So.
I was just talking to someone the other day on Sunday about people who leave churches for a variety of reasons, and they're all on the spectrum of good, bad, and ugly, and everything in between. I mean, we're a broken community like anywhere else, and so we leave church for lots of reasons. And the members they were talking about specifically, this person I was talking to kept saying, yeah, I know why they left, and yes, it's brokenness, but it means they're missing out on all the good, too. They're missing out on the good that we're getting to do together.
Which reminds me, we still got time to... One of the things I consider now is you.
All good. Phone calls.
It's Nick.
We can. All good.
So when I was growing up, I grew up in Principe's.
Yeah.
It's a lovely church, but it's just not where I'm supposed to be right now. But back in those days, the only jobs for women were singing in the choir and teaching Sunday school.
Yeah.
And we had a youth group. It was called Luther League.
Uh-huh.
And my senior year, I was Luther League president, one of the great experiences of my life. I had so much fun, and I had such a supportive, the youth pastor and the intern pastor, and and one of my close friends had kind of got me into that position. And I look back at it as real, you know, starting to really learn my innate leadership school skills.
Yeah.
But then once I was done being Luther League president, I looked around and there was no place for a female leader.
Yeah.
It was all, the church council was all old white men, the pastor, you know.
Yep.
And it kind of made me angry. And of course, this was the late 60s.
Yeah.
So this buddy and I decided that we were going to go to the church council and propose that the church put a sign out in front of the church saying, we support civil rights.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even let us in the door because we were kids and because I was a girl.
Yeah.
And I was mad.
Yeah.
And I was mad. And I left the church when I was in college. I kind of visited a few, just nothing. And so I just kind of drifted away.
Yeah.
For about 15 years, till God yanked me kicking and screaming back. But I think now, I think back on those days, how different things are now. But I appreciate you so much because
what
my experience as a young person.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, it's good to hear that, not for my own ego, but for the health of the church.
Yes.
Because there were a couple of people, and I don't know who they were, I never met them, but I've heard that there were a couple of people who left when I came because even in 2020, they were not ready or wanting a female pastor.
Oh.
And so that's hard.
Their loss.
Thank you. Thank you. But to hear people say that, again, not for my own ego, but for the health of the church, saying this matters to us.
Yeah.
Female leadership, diverse leadership of all kinds matters
to us. And I think about, you know, the kids in my Sunday school class and the kids in our youth program.
Yeah.
I want those girls to know that that's open to them.
Yeah.
Because, it wouldn't even been on the table when I was a kid because they didn't have any.
Right.
You know, so.
And I look at our youth group and I just think every last one of them is an incredible minister.
Yes.
And some of them would, all of them would make incredible pastors, really.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's just they all have incredible hearts for ministry.
Yeah.
And to ever tell any one of those beautiful souls that they don't belong in professional ministry just does not make sense to
me
at all.
And I love the way that Grace has kids share their stories, like in confirmation, senior Sunday, and. You know, that would never have happened. That never happened when I was a kid.
So we're all ministers. We're all a part of this.
Yeah.
We're all.
Yeah.
I love it. Anytime we can get. I love my job. I love what I get to do on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime we can get more people up there, and I have less to do on a Sunday, the healthier the church. It falls to the pastors, I think, to make sure it happens, but it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be us. It gets to be all of us. We're all a part of this ministry thing, and I just think that's so cool. Well, tell us about a time when God's grace showed up in your life in a impactful way. Maybe it was surprising, and you just can't ever stop thinking about it. Maybe it was huge support through community, however you would identify God's grace, a moment when God's grace, I should remind our listeners, since we haven't been on in a while, that part of the wordplay of the podcast is it's not only Get to Know Grace Lutheran, it's also Get to Know God's Grace through our experiences. So this is
One of course, was the him bringing me here, but the other one I would think of is, this is back, I mentioned I lost my older daughter in 2013, and as much as that was very painful, but it wasn't unexpected. I knew she was suffering from some very severe health issues.
Yeah.
And but it was a dark time for me because I lost her in 2013. The next year, I lost my dearest and best friend from breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the year after that, 2015, I lost my closest cousin to but lots of effects of bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you know, I'm a tough girl and I've been through a lot, and I just, you know, and none of these things came as a shock to me. I had been somewhat prepared for them.
Yeah.
So I muddled through and put on a good face. And after about a year, I was called by a friend and another Grace member
yeah.
to be in a small group.
Okay.
And we were going through this book, and the assignment one week was to look at this Bible verse, at the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we were supposed to go home and look at that verse and meditate and figure out which one of those that we needed to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, on my way home, I was sure that it was going to be patience. But I got home, and in my next devotional time, sat down, and the word joy just leaped off the page into my face.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
So I had to really think hard about that.
Yeah.
And I realized that I've been walking around in this black cloud of grief.
Mm-hmm.
Putting on a good face, but not, and I
yeah.
need to work on it.
Yeah.
So I don't remember where the idea came, probably that same thing that made the joy leap off the page. I started a gratitude journal.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I would read what I'd written before
yeah.
and add new things to it.
Yeah.
And after about a month or two, the black cloud went away.
Mm-hmm.
It was this amazing experience.
Okay.
And so I use that when I talk about gratitude with my Sunday school students.
Yeah.
And if I'm somewhere by myself in the car and I feel that black cloud creeping in, I think about something happy. I think about one of the kids acolyting or one of my Sunday school kids telling, making me laugh, or
yeah.
you know, and it just
yeah.
all goes away.
Yeah.
So
God's grace active all the time, not just one moment, but
yeah.
an ongoing
I mean, if that friend hadn't invited me to that small
yeah.
group, which Pastor Stan started.
Sure, yeah.
Or if I hadn't had, we hadn't had that particular book. I mean,
yeah.
it's just this whole series of things. I look back and went, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So.
Incredible.
Right.
Oh, very cool. Well, thank you so much, Stephanie, for sharing of your story and sharing of yourself and sharing of God's presence in and amongst your story and your being and your very presence.
Well,
thank
you're
you.
Very welcome, and thank you for listening.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Listeners out there, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of this journey. We are back in action now with our Grace, Get to Know Grace podcasts, with stuff happening around the church, so I'm sure we'll see you around. But tune in again next week. We'll have another great Get to Know Grace guest. That is an alliteration mouthful, and I love it. We will see y'all next week. Have a great time. Have a great week. Be blessed, and know that God's grace goes with you wherever you may go. Take care, y'all.